Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking, an Elevated Missions Prep Incorporated company. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest is the Visceral Connections Coach. He is the author of an inspirational book, Found My People, a testament to how passionate he is about connecting all who will to the culture in their DNA. He believes that every disconnected African descendant can have a revelation day that will enrich their lives and be nothing short of transformational. Today, as we go through this episode, we will talk about how God has remained an intricate part of his journey and how he continues to rule in his life. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Mr. Richard Kwaku Eziagu Akinyemi. Welcome to the CWS stage.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, so throughout this interview, we're going to call him Ezzy. As you heard, he has a very long name, but we are excited to hear about his journey and finding out about his descendants and how it has affected his life today. So Ezzy, let's talk about this. You went on this journey. What caused you to say, I want to find out more about my people?
Well, actually, it didn't start out with me wanting to find out more about my people. My doctor for a long time was my personal care, primary care physician. He is Nigerian. And so he would come back from Nigeria. He would tell me about visiting. And so he saw that I had an interest because I would ask him questions about it. And so he started inviting me to the Independence Day celebration. October 1st, that is the Independence Day for Nigeria. This past October 1st was the 63rd anniversary of their independence. And usually on some Saturdays, like if you know Nigerians where you are, there's going to be some Independence Day celebrations. And at those celebrations, they have, you know, Nigerian food, which is delicious. They have the culture of the Nigerian women. The fashion is so beautiful. And the Nigerian men as well. You know, this is like Nigerian attire, African attire. I got exposed to the culture. And then about 8 years after, you know, doing that, going to those and my doctor inviting me over to have some Nigerian food at his house occasionally, I told him I wanted to go to Nigeria with him. And so he told me that that was in 2012. He told me in November of 2013 that his wife's niece was having a wedding. I'd be able to meet the whole family. He said, well, let's just plan to go November 2013. I had to convince him first, though, because he said, and other Nigerians also told me many people have asked them about going to Africa. And then he said they don't really follow up. So, you know, he kind of looked at me with the side eye, you know, when I told him I wanted to go. He's like, okay, all right, yeah. But I said, no, I'm serious. You know, I had to convince him. But once I convinced him, he said, okay, well, look forward to it. So I started doing my research and everything like that. I had no idea I was going to be able connected to my roots. All I knew was I was going to learn more about Africa. I knew being an African-American that, you know, I connected somewhere, but like most other African-Americans, I had no idea. I liken us African-Americans to the full moon. Where we see a beautiful full moon, you know, we like to go out and see it once a month. It's nice. Songs have been written about it. But what we don't think about when we see that beautiful full moon is there's another half just as big that is unseen and unknown. Well, that's a great analogy for African-Americans. We have this rich, beautiful African-American culture that's been copied all over the world. So we know that we have an exceptional culture. But like the full moon, there's another side to us that we don't know through no fault of our own because of the legacy of enslavement. And for so long, there wasn't a way to connect back and find out, you know, exactly what those connections are. But now there are. So when we went to Nigeria, it didn't take long. We were at the first place we went to was Abuja, the Abeto Hotel in Abuja, which is a very nice hotel in Abuja. I mean, it's like a 4-star hotel. And so people that have that stereotype of Africa with, you know, grass huts and cows walking around and things like that through the huts, you can't go to the Abeto Hotel because it'll blow that myth away. It's a beautiful hotel, as good as any hotel in the United States. So at any rate, when we went down to the beverage area to get something to drink, The beverage matter, he looked at me, he said, "Are you Nigerian?" I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I'm African-American, you know, slavery thing happened, got to do some DNA. He said, "You are an Igbo man. I tell you, you're an Igbo." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "You look like an Igbo. If you closed your mouth, I could not tell that you were not raised in Nigeria. You look like a Nigerian." I said, "Well, thank you." You know, so a little later on in the trip, some Yorubas asked me the same question. And I said, "Well, I don't know." I gave them the same answer. And they said, "I believe you are a Yoruba. You have Yoruba features. I believe you're a Yoruba." So when I came home and did my DNA, I actually found out that what they told me was true. On my father's side, it showed that I am of the Igbo and Yoruba people. And on my mother's side, I am of the Fanti people of Ghana. And so I learned that. I didn't know that because my features are heavily like Nigerian. So even Ghanaians have told me that they have a hard time seeing the Fanti in me. So I said, "Well, I'm Fanti. You might not be able to see it, but I am." But so anyway, that's how it happened. I kind of backed into it by just going to Africa.
And what difference did it make in your life, and especially with your Christian faith?
Number one, the Christian faith, when I look back at how God connected me to my doctor, and then that's how I learned about my Nigerian. I know that for me, it's like the thread that God weaved to connect me to the culture. I wrote a book about this, Found My People, and in the book, I even tell people any benefit that you get from this book, if you connect back, and I hope that so many of us do. My goal is for millions of us to connect and understand how it can enrich our lives. But I said, any benefit that you get from connecting back is because I believe of God's love for me and I believe for you. I tell this to the reader. And I genuinely believe that. I believe God wanted me to connect because it's so important to God because, you know, he gave us some of the most boring reading in the Bible is the begots, you know, how such and such begot such and such and such and such begot such and such. So we learned that 42 generations from Abraham to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So, you know, if it wasn't important, God wouldn't put it in the Bible. It's clear at the end of Matthew, it talks about how when the Lord was on the earth, he did so many other things that it said, if they were all written down, the world could not contain the books. So that tells you that the fact that God put this in the book means it's very important because there were so many things that he did that it said the world could not contain the books at the last chapter of Matthew. I think it's the last verse of Matthew. That's what it says. So we know if he put this, it's important. And so that's why to me, it was God that helped me to connect. You know, I know some people, because a lot of African Americans, they ask me, the first thing they ask me when they find out I connected to my roots and legally changed my name, they say, "Well, are you still a Christian?" I say, "Of course." Like the apostle says, "To whom shall I go?" There's no ancestor worship cannot take me to salvation. You know, animal worship, land worship, sun worship, tree worship, none of that can take me to salvation. Those are all creations of God. You know, I tell people sometimes now it's popular to say the universe, but the universe has as much power to help somebody as a blade of grass. I mean, if somebody go worship the universe, they might as well go out there and talk to a blade of grass, right? Because these are all creations of God. But they don't think about it that they say the universe because it's, you know, it's out there. You know, so it's, the universe has agreed. No. The universe is a creation of God. The universe cannot agree with you. It just can, you know. God created it. That's what it says. So like the apostles, I said, well, I tell them whenever they ask me, I say, "To whom shall I go? He is the only one with the words of life eternal." So yes, I am definitely and will always be, by the grace of God, one of his children.
And what do you think the ultimate purpose was in God connecting you to your roots?
I actually think it was to enrich my life and also to help me to enrich the lives of others. And I do think indirectly, because even though the book I wrote is not a religious book, but I use the language of today. Today, people say my higher power, you know, whatever their higher power is, they say, "Well, my higher power is such and such." My higher power, everybody talks about their higher power. So I said, well, if they're going to talk about their higher power, then I'm going to talk about my higher power. And my higher power is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So I believe that as I wrote in the book, in the dedication, is dedicated to the Lord, because I know I wouldn't have connected without him making that connection with my doctor. And then having somebody that was willing to share the culture with me. and then having somebody that was willing to bring me over. So to me, I see all of these things as God wanting me to connect, not only to enrich my life and to understand, like the full moon, light up that dark side of the moon in that analogy we used. Now, because you see, African Americans are the only ones in the United States that are called by a country instead of a continent instead of a country. For example, Africa has 54 countries. So when we say we're African American, there's 54 countries in Africa, okay? Now, if you talk to somebody from Asia in America, they don't say, I'm an Asian American. We might generally refer to the group as Asian American, but when you talk to the individual, they don't say I'm an Asian American. They say I'm a Chinese American. I'm a Japanese American. I'm an Indonesian American. You talk to somebody from Europe, they don't refer to themselves as a European American. They say I am a English American, or I'm a Spanish American, or I'm a Italian American, or, you know, German American. They call the country that they come from. Well, we have had so many names: colored, Black, Negro, now BIPOC. Black Indigenous People of Color is the new seat they want us to sit in. Why? Because we were disconnected through no fault of our own. You know, Marcus Garvey once said, a people without the knowledge of their history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. And although it's not our fault, and although we have made a very rich African-American culture, there's still another side to us. There's a culture that we haven't connected to. Recently, my sister, who was very reluctant, didn't want to try the Nigerian food, nothing like that. One day when my mother, my sister, and my niece, her daughter, were all there, I had come home with some egusi soup, which is a Nigerian, one of popular Nigerian soup with some pounded yam, which you take the pounded yam. It's kind of like the consistency of thick mashed potatoes, and you dip it in the soup and you eat it. And so my sister was like, I don't want to try. I said, okay, no problem. So mom tried. Mom said, oh, this is delicious. My niece tried it. She said, oh, that's good. So then, my sister said, oh, well, okay, I'll try some. Like she was doing me a favor now, right? So I said, okay. So I let her try some. She said, oh, that is good. Then she found a person at work who knew me from the local Nigerian community that I joined. They happened to be talking. And then she said, oh, yeah, I know your brother. And so she said, next time you make a goosey soup, please bring me some. I just got a text message from her yesterday where her coworker had bought her some goosey soup and fufu. She said, it was delicious. Now my sister is connected to the culture, you see? So I thank God connected me not only to enrich my life, but for me to help enrich, because my goal is to help millions, because not many people understand this, but there's over 47 million in the U.S., and there's, in Brazil, over 90 million. That's 130 million. But when you count Canada, the Caribbean, and all points in between on this side of the world, it's over 200 million of us that don't know our cultural connection back to Africa. That is a tragedy for a much longer time and involving many, many, many more people. So my goal is to help as many of those people that want to connect back to the culture. Yes, it's a little awkward at first, you know, because we've been so used to one thing. It's been generations that we've been disconnected. And I told my sister, and I tell people, they say, well, why did you change your name? Why did you want to change your name? I said, I changed my name for me to nullify the legacy of enslavement. My name was all English, right? It didn't reflect any of the DNA that I now know is Fanti people of Ghana, Igbo people of Nigeria, and Yoruba people of Nigeria. So I wanted my name to reflect each of the people groups that is in my DNA. This is my culture, and I'm learning each one of these. So I'm learning, you know, I can speak some Twi, which is the Ashanti in Ghana speak Twi. And the Fanti, they speak Fanti, but it's like very close because they are like kindred tribes. They call them Akan tribes. And so if you know how to speak Twi, you can communicate with somebody at Fanti. And so I'm learning a little bit of Igbo. I'm learning a little bit of Yoruba. And I'm, you know, writing them all down so I can connect to these things. It so enriches my life. One of the things I found out when I started doing speaking engagements after I changed my name to Nigerians, I was getting requests to do keynote speaking. And you have to research your people that you're going to talk to. Well, did you know that in America, it is not the Asians that are the most educated, like the media tries to make us kind of think that the most educated people group by degrees, I mean, the percentage of them that have degrees, is Asians. That is actually not true. It is the Africans, led by the Nigerians. The Nigerians get bachelor's degrees at a rate of more than 2 to 1 compared to native-born Caucasian Americans. They get advanced degrees at a rate of more than 3 to 1 compared to native-born Caucasian Americans. And they are the highest earning group and the most successful group that has ever set foot on American shores in the entire history of America. But all we hear when we hear about Nigerians is scammers. They're scammers. Well, they are highly intelligent. And this is not to say that we are not as African Americans, but it's just to say, look at the nurturing environment that they came from and look at the environment. We are nurtured in our communities. Yes, we are. But then we have to go out into an environment that's very racist, you know, where our parents have to tell us when we're young that, you know, you've got 2 strikes against you. You got to be twice as good to be considered equal. These are things that wise African-American parents tell their children at the earliest age that they can possibly understand it. And all we have to do is look on the TV and see how many people who have their hands on the wheel and are not bothering anybody, not threatening, and are getting shot. People pulling out, they say, oh, I thought I pulled out my taser, but I shot the man to death. And then the person only gets like 2 years and then I know in prison. You know, I mean, now they're on probation. We see there's a lack of value in the lives of these people, which is why the Black Lives Matter movement came about to say, hey, Black Lives Matter. And somebody said, yes, all lives matter. All lives do matter, but all lives aren't the ones getting shot like that.
You've mentioned multiple times that it has enriched your life as discovering your DNA. And then we're comparing it to how biblically God shares with us the DNA or the lineage of Jesus Christ. Share how it has enriched your life and then compare it to what God has done. Why is that so important?
One way it enriched my life is when I found out that I am from the same people group that are the most successful in the United States, it gave me a great sense of pride. And so when I was actually on a trip to Washington, D.C. with a company that was doing some lobbying in the insurance industry. And I was the only African-American in the group. As the people came down and I heard their names, I was actually trying to figure out, I said, oh, is that Italian? Oh, is that Spanish? Oh, is that, you know, and then there was another guy and he said his name and I couldn't understand what it was. And I said, well, what origin is your name? Now, first of all, just the fact that I was asking this, I wouldn't have asked this if I didn't know my origins. I knew my origins. These things that I just shared with you, I knew. And I knew that it's not properly reported and basically kept secret in the U.S. So I wanted to inform these gentlemen because I was the only African-American there, but I wanted to inform them of that. So it gave me a sense of pride. And so the other guy, he said, well, it's Hispanic. I said, well, Hispanic is not a country. I said, what country are you from? And this is nothing against people from this country, but he said, Nicaragua. Now, I later learned that the man was ashamed of being from Nicaragua. And again, I will say I'm not disparaging anybody that's Nicaraguan at all. This is exactly what happened. That's all I'm telling you. We went to the place across from the U.S. House of Representatives to have dinner. And the man kept talking about, and he was almost trying to be apologetic to the Caucasian people in the room, letting him know that he's a Republican and that he might have been an anchor baby. He called himself an anchor baby, which is a derogatory term that is used when people who might not be documented in the United States have a child and that child becomes a citizen. They call that an anchor baby because that child is a citizen. It kind of anchors the family because that child is a citizen. He referred to himself as an anchor baby. And it was the first time in my life that I saw this man looked like he was Caucasian. But when I asked that question, and it was with everybody on the ride over, it was out that he was not Nicaraguan, which I didn't see as a problem, but obviously he felt it was. And he was apologizing to those people for being Nicaraguan. He was apologizing. He was saying, I'm a Republican. Basically, you know, I was an anchor baby, but it's like he felt guilty. because of these things. And I said, wow, look at how this person is not, he doesn't have pride in who he is, you know? And it's because God connected me to my roots. That question, I'm the only one asking that question. That question wouldn't have been asked if it wasn't for me. And I wouldn't have asked that question before I had connected to my roots because I didn't know what I was. Because after I told everybody on the way, on the trip, I was letting them know just what I shared with you about Nigerians. And they were like, really, really, really? They were like, blew their minds. So it has enriched my life by, number one, giving me pride, more pride in who I am. Number two, when I went to Africa and I saw everybody, I went to a country club and everybody looked like you and me. Have you ever seen that in America? I'm talking about everybody. The people in the pool, the people at the lounge, the people sitting around in tables. I had to take a little picture. I had to just take it in, right? I was like, we have 10 people in our group. I said, everybody stop. We've got to take this in. I want you all to know that you don't see this in America. Then they have the Naira, which is their money, and the Cedi, which is the Ghanaian money. And I bring that back with me when I come back to America, and I show it to African-American people when I'm at the store or when I'm checking into a hotel. I said, have you ever seen a Nigerian money or a Ghanaian money? They say, no. So I show it to them. They take pictures. They say, oh, this is us. There's Black people on the money. And then they say, I want to show my children. They put it on Facebook. I put one post on my Facebook and there were so many likes. It was just a different money with the Black people on it. And then Africans look at me and they say, of course. I said, but we have grown up in a place where there are not Black people on money, where we are made to feel that Black people are inferior, where our parents have to tell us when we're young that, you know, you got to watch yourself, got to tell you how to interact with the police because there's a hair trigger. And you could do something that somebody else do and they'll take them in. But with you, you'll be shot dead, you know? So that is the way that it's enriched my life. And I think it's enriching other people's lives as they see and connect and they see it. It's actually bringing joy to other people as well.
How can people connect with you?
Oh, to connect with me, just go to the foundmypeople.com website. So I made it easy. The book is called Found My People and the website is Found My People. So everything to connect with, there's actually a contact sheet there. There's also all the social media links are there. So just go to foundmypeople.com.
As we wrap up, what is the one word that you want to leave with people? The one thing that is going to cause them to take action today?
Badaggery is the point of no return in Nigeria. If you do your DNA and you find out you have Nigerian DNA, badaggery is where your ancestor and mine, the last place their foot touched before they were violently taken away from the African continent. When I was there, I had a visceral, that's where I get visceral connection coach from. It was a visceral, it was beyond cerebral, it was beyond emotional, it was spiritual. And God gave me a poem, and this is the poem he gave me right there on that beach. I talk about it in the first chapter of the book, and it's called It's in Your DNA. And this is what I want to leave with everybody. I want you to remember this. If you have to go back and listen to this over so that it can saturate in your soul, in your spirit. It does not matter what they say. There is greatness in your DNA. The proof is in the lies they choose to tell to make themselves feel superior. They point to chaos in different places, but hide what their hands did to bring it about. There is greatness in us, but they don't want it out. I think they know they could not compete if the field were level and they couldn't cheat. So on they go, lives filled with lies to make pretend and rationalize. They say all is equal. Why do you complain? Pretending that their constant lies have not changed the game and made people perceive just by your skin who should lose and who should win. There are some things you have to know. Don't wait for someone to tell you so. Reject the lies of yesterday. Embrace the greatness in your DNA. That's my word.
Thank you so much. CWS audience, as I sit here and listen to his story, and just listen to the truths of what African American people have experienced. The reality is, when God created all of us, He created us in His image. And if you think about God, He Himself is greatness. He never wanted us to look at ourselves as anything less than. We are not God, but we are certainly reflections of Him. And He has placed in us all purpose, gifts, talents, and abilities. And so no one should have to go through life thinking that they are less than because of something that other people are saying, because that is not who God created us to be.
It's a lie.
So if you are struggling with that, and maybe this is a way that you can find the greatness in you by connecting to your roots, understanding better who you came from, where you came from. But even when we look at those 42 generations that from Abraham all the way to Jesus himself, there is a lot in there. You have people who are not of the best reputation. And one of the greatest lessons I feel I have learned that no matter who is in your ancestral line, you have the opportunity to exhibit the greatness that God desires to see in you and to exhibit to other people. So make sure you ground yourself in who God says you are, and then take the next step in discovering who you are among your people if you desire. And as they influence you, be sure to influence them as well and everyone around you, because you are important as a person. You do matter. There is purpose to everybody being here, but it is up to you to be able to manifest that purpose through the things that you do, who you become as a person. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.